Hi, we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
This is Sports Crunch with T-Crom. I'm your host, David Cromwell. By the time you hear these words, we'll officially be 1 week away from the 2024 NFL Draft. At this moment, all 32 clubs have finished their boards, top 30 visits have come to an end, and all there's left to do for teams is to come up with a plan of attack for draft day. And that's why today we make the final stop of our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour in the NFC East, a division that may be changing drastically over these next few seasons. How should the Commanders, Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys approach this draft? Joining us once again to help answer that question and a whole lot more is our good friend Jeff Barnes, who's the senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. It is always the utmost pleasure experiencing draft season with you, my man. How you doing?
Not bad on yourself, Dave. Listen, it's always a pleasure being on your show.
I'm doing good as well, Jeff, except I can't wait for these 9 days to fly by as fast as possible because we're at the zenith of misinformation season. Teams are sending out mixed signals as to what they're going to do. Just can't wait to know the truth next Thursday night. And without further ado, let's get down to business here. The Commanders, who are entering a new era, enter this draft with 6 picks in the top 100 and thus have a golden opportunity to get the ship righted fast under rookie GM Adam Peters and new head coach Dan Quinn. However, none of this will matter in the long run if they don't pick the right quarterback at 2 overall. While most around the NFL believe Jaden Daniels is the apple of Washington's eye, the Commanders themselves have been tight-lipped and thus will only be guessing until they turn the card in. In your opinion, which quarterback out of Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy should be the pick at 2?
To me, it's Jaden Daniels. He's, you know, my top 2 quarterbacks, but the 2 I keep mocking, 1 and 2, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And honestly, he fits best of what they like to do in Washington. We talk about Cliff Kingsbury coming in as offensive coordinator. He gives you that run ability. He gives you that ability to throw. Is he a little lean? Yes. But these are things that you're going to build up with him. He's going to get with your program. He's going to be in your offseason program. He's going to be able to get bigger. But he's not going to put on a ton of weight. You want to put on enough that he can protect himself. But you want to be able to him to continue to be as sharp as he is running the football. And you want to be able to give him the comfortable throws that he's been able to do at the college level. And a lot of that is the stuff that he does in that air raid system. So he's bringing that from Arizona to Washington. And I believe that he's going to be a perfect fit.
Absolutely. You cannot deny that Jaden Daniels is the most tailor-made scheme fit out of all those 3 quarterbacks I mentioned for Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And sticking with the Commanders for a moment, they also have a glaring deficiency at offensive tackle, as their current depth chart consists of Braydon Daniels, Cornelius Lucas, Andrew Wiley, and Trent Scott. If you're Adam Peters, do you try extra hard to package your 2 second-round picks at 36 and 40, respectively, to move up into the late teens or early 20s to select a tackle?
I don't think you have to push the envelope at tackle, because I believe with certain tackles in this class, there's going to be a run potentially in the first round on them. I think the wild card in that is Fautanu. If teams believe he's a guard and he goes at guard, then it pushes tackles up. If somebody likes him at tackle, it's going to push some of those other tackles down. I don't know if J.C. Latham goes in the first. I know some people are mocking him there. I think Mims, if he does go in the first, it's in the back end. I think the injuries are what are going to push him down to the second round. And there's going to be others. Does Guyton sneak into the first round? I think he does. So they're going to be tackles right around the early second round where Washington doesn't have to move. They'll be in prime position to sit where they are and still take a good tackle.
Oh, that's very interesting. You mentioned J.C. Latham potentially falling out of the first round, and his name has been buzzing around in recent days as being the second tackle off the board, but that could very well be a smokescreen. So you may be onto something there, Jeff. And now on to the Giants. When it comes to Big Blue, they're one of the more intriguing teams to watch in the early first round. They hold the 6th overall pick and are expected by many, if not most, to take one of the top 3 wide receivers in the class, whether that be Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Rome Odunze. However, as Rich Eisen reported, one of the worst-kept secrets at the Combine was that the Giants deeply regret giving Daniel Jones that 4-year, $160 million contract. In addition, the guarantees on that contract run out after this coming season, and there's obviously been speculation about the Giants trading up into the top three or four picks for a quarterback. But there's also been some buzz in recent days suggesting the Giants will sit tight at six and look to address the quarterback position on day two. What do you think is the better plan for the Giants? Trading up to three or four to select Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, or taking one of the stud receivers at six and using their second round pick on Michael Penix?
I would take the stud receiver at six, or even better, we're talking about Darren Waller possibly not even playing this year. Brock Bowers is in the mix at that position, if that's the case. He's going to be on the board at that point. So if you want to replace Waller, then you take Bowers. If you want to bring in that receiver that you don't have, that big wide receiver, you're talking Neighbors or Odunze, whichever one you like more. I have first round grades on both of them. So I think wide receiver, you got to go there, or tight end if you have Bowers on the board. I don't think that you have to force the issue at quarterback. With the quarterbacks we're talking about going day one, they're in prime position to get a Michael Penix, a Bo Nix, or any one of the quarterbacks of that next group that can come in, sit a year, let Daniel Jones play out this year. And if he really falters, which I think they're just going to have a rough year with the changes they've had, possibly bring in a rookie off the bench late in the season just to get him some time before you make the change next year, that's a possibility. But you don't have to force the issue in the top. Unless you're going to come in and have him compete right away with Daniel Jones this year, I wouldn't force the issue in round one. I'd bring in the talent to go around that next quarterback.
Yes, but if Caleb Williams does go one and Jaden Daniels does go two as expected, and the Patriots are truly open to moving back from three, why not make a deal with the Patriots to move up to three and take a Drake May?
Because you're going to need the capital. You didn't overspend in free agency, so you need this draft to really improve your team. And I think that's where they're going. We talk about two teams in this division spent. Two teams in this division were pretty frugal. Dallas and the Giants were the two frugal teams. So to me, they're banking on this draft class. They want to go into this draft. They want to accumulate as much young talent as they can, and then come back after this draft and add some key free agents to help bolster their teams to compete with Philadelphia. So if they're going to do that, they need every one of these picks. So they need the best player available at six. If it's a quarterback and they feel they need a quarterback, then you do it. But then if you're going to wait a year to move on from Daniel Jones, it was probably better off taking the other skilled player. So I think that situation, you can wait till round two. You're high enough in round two to get one of those quarterbacks. There's going to be quarterbacks falling out of the first round. We've seen it the last couple of years. We've been mocking all these guys first round, they fall. So there are going to be guys day two that are there that can definitely come in and be the future. Give them a year to learn. Let Daniel Jones play out this year, but definitely grab the impact player. I know it's very tempting to move up and get a Drake May at three, but honestly, Arizona's not going to take him if nobody's going to move up and take him. And if he does fall past three, he may be in your lap at six anyway. So you got to let it play out at six. Get the best player that's going to help your team this year and come back in round two, and there's going to be a quarterback there that can help you next year.
Absolutely. The only way the Giants will probably move up to three or four anyway is if they have a total conviction about the two quarterbacks that are likely going to be remaining at that juncture. They have got to be 120% sold that they are the guy for the next 10 to 15 years in the Big Apple.
That are they desperate to get their hands on Marvin Harrison Jr. because he doesn't fall past four. So if they want the best receiver in this class, then you go up to three and get him. But to me, otherwise you let it play out at six, take your pick at six, come back in round two, pick a quarterback that's going to be better for your team in the future. Sorry to cut you off.
No worries, Jeff. And one of the more predictable teams in the first round over the past decade and a half has been the Eagles. Since Howie Roseman became the GM in 2010, Philly has spent 10 of 14 first-round selections on either an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, or an edge pass rusher. And while there are some who expect the Eagles to use their 2024 first-round pick on a corner, ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller reported that Philly may be eyeing a long-term successor to all-pro right tackle Lane Johnson, who turns 34 years old next month. Keep in mind that the Eagles also have two second-round picks this year, with numerous offensive tackle needy teams picking ahead of them, the Raiders at 13, the Saints at 14, the Bengals at 18, the Rams at 19, the Steelers at 20, and the Dolphins at 21. Do you think the Eagles would be more than willing to package one of those second round picks to move up to 15 with the Colts or even to 12 with the Broncos in order to get their guy?
I don't think they're going to move. I think they're going to be able to take what they need. The priority is to replace Jason Kelce right now. So, and right now, if you look at it, possibly the best center in this draft is right in range the way you're picking. So if there's a move, it may be a slight move to get that center. I don't think they're going to jump up for tackle. You have Lane Johnson. You just re-signed Jordan Mailata. You can get a tackle in round two. You can get a tackle in round three to come in and learn from those guys and potentially replace Lane Johnson. There are tackles who are talented but underdeveloped that can come in there and learn and be a swing tackle for a year or two before you decide to move on from Lane Johnson. But I think you got to replace the interior of that line. That was the strength of that line the past couple of years. You got to come back and fix that. Jason Kelce gone. If you have Jackson Powers, if you have Powers Johnson in range, take Powers Johnson and grab him where you can.
That is a good point, although I believe the Eagles' plan is to play Cam Jurgens at center. They selected him a couple years ago to be Jason Kelce's long-term replacement, and I could easily see them taking a Troy Fautanu or a Tyler Guyton or a Jordan Morgan with that 22nd overall pick or in a slight trade-up to, yeah, like, play at one of the guard spots this year and then kick outside to right tackle when Lane Johnson hangs up his cleats in a couple years.
Absolutely. And those guys are great. Like I said, Fautanu was a guy. I think he's one of the better guards. He's my top guard in this draft, although some people still have him at tackle. So it depends on the team that sees him. Philadelphia could definitely move Jurgens to center, bring in Fautanu and plug him in at guard, and it's a win-win for him. I think Jackson Powers Johnson possibly grayed out to be a way better center than Cam Jurgens. So that's where I see Alex Johnson coming into play for him. But by all means, if they feel better about moving, making that move and upgrading the guard position or bringing in a future tackle because they're high on him, Guyton's in range once again at that pick. We talked about Mims, right, being in range. We talked about Jordan Morgan being in range. So there aren't going to be tackles there. There's going to be a short run on them. There's going to be a short run on certain positions. Wide receiver is going to come back into play in the teens. Pass rushers, when you get into the teens, you're going to start to see some of those guys coming off the board. So there are going to be certain players that fall into their range where they're going to have a good choice at their current pick.
They most certainly are, and it's going to be fascinating, as always, to see what Howie Roseman does next Thursday night. And now on to your Cowboys, who are at a crossroads headed into 2024. Dak Prescott is in the final year of his contract with enormous leverage over the team in negotiations, and it's no slam dunk he'll be a Cowboy in 2025. Moreover, head coach Mike McCarthy is essentially entering a lame duck season, and the Cowboys also have two other big money contracts to hand out to CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. In other words, Dallas must find multiple starters in this draft. And as an NFC scouting director told ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed, a potential reason for the Cowboys' quiet free agency is that, quote unquote, they seem to be confident in doing just that. Do you share the Cowboys' supposed confidence?
I understand why they're confident. I have some worries. I'm not as confident in the depth that they are on their offensive line. I'm not as confident in their depth at wide receiver. So if they're going all in this year, it's that they're going to go with the final year on Dak Prescott's contract as it is right now. There are no talks going on. So if that's the case, if you're literally saying this team hinges on Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott in your final years getting it done this year, then you're going to have to make some major moves in this draft. You got to bring in somebody, one, that's going to help your interior line keep Dak Prescott upright. You're going to have to bring in some running back help that's going to come out there and help take the load off of Dak Prescott. You're going to have to bring in some wide receiver help that's going to help out CeeDee Lamb, because you saw it last year. Yes, you have what's the receiver's name again? I'm sorry.
Jalen Tolbert?
No, not Tolbert, the veteran. He's bounced around. 1,000-yard receiver with several teams. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. But you have a veteran wide receiver, played a number two. You have Jalen Tolbert, who's up and coming. But you let go of Michael Gallup because he wasn't producing after the injury. So you need to replace production. You have to do that in this class. You need more explosive plays down the field from somebody other than CeeDee Lamb. So that's something big that you need. So there are things that they're missing from this passing game. If you want to make that run, you're going to need it. You're not going to be able to go out there and just go through the motions like you have the past 2 years, thinking that those teams were good enough. They've tried that in the past. By week 4 or 5, they're trying to make frantic moves to fix the team. Don't wait till week 4 or 5. If you're going to do it in this draft class. So they have to replace a bunch of pass rushers because they lost a bunch of their rotation and in free agency, quite a few of them to Washington. So they're going to see those guys twice a year. All right. They're still trying to upgrade that run defense. You're trying to upgrade your linebacking core that was depleted last year. There are so many holes that you're not going to be able to fill it all in this draft class. And knowing how Stephen Jones operates, they're going to load up this draft class. They're going to come back afterwards. They're going to get some middle-of-the-road veterans at a decent rate so they can come through and try and go all in this year. It's a flawed way of thinking because it hasn't worked for them so far. So while I'm confident in the team that they have and it needs some pieces, I am not confident in the way they're thinking right now by the way this team has finished the season the past 4 years.
Your skepticism cannot be faulted there, Jeff. And that veteran receiver you were referring to was Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is the wide receiver to CeeDee Lamb. And it's all right. We're all human. We all forget things. Sticking with the Cowboys for a moment, would you anticipate 2 of their 3 top 100 picks being spent on that offensive line given the departures of Tyler Biadasz and Tyron Smith?
I could see 2 to 3 picks going on the line of scrimmage in general, offensive and defensive line. Because there are going to be some very good defensive tackles that can help that defense in the second round. So definitely, offensive line is probably going to be their first pick off the board, whether it's a guard, whether it's a center, whether it's a tackle. I think you have needs at all 3. Tyron Smith moving on, unless you're moving Tyler Smith outside, unless you have full belief in the young tackle that you got out of North Dakota a couple of years ago. You got to really look at this draft class and say, do we have a tackle that we can plug and play? Or do we have a young player that we can kick inside and move somebody outside? I don't think that they can just come out there and just go best player available every round. They've kind of put themselves in a need situation.
He is Jeff Barnes, ladies and gentlemen, senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on X at JeffBarnes29. And now, Jeff, it's time for the best part of our Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour. You get to play GM for all 4 NFC East teams with 3-round mock drafts, albeit no trades allowed. And we start with the Commanders at 2. And you said earlier that Jaden Daniels would be your pick there, so we're going to make Jaden Daniels the pick at 2. And now we're back on the clock with the first of 2 second-round picks at 36 overall. Johnny Newton inexplicably is still available here, but the Commanders already have 2 stud D tackles in Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne. Kool-Aid McKinstry is still available. They need corner help. Let's see what offensive linemen are available. Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. The cupboard's bare at offensive tackle. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry would be great value here.
Absolutely. You talk about a corner who is right and around the range where you expect him to go late first, early second. I think this is a perfect spot for him. While Newton will be a great guy to add to that rotation that Dan Quinn has, Kool-Aid McKinstry helps with something that they were trying to fix last year, and that's that secondary. I do believe they're going to get better the second year with Emmanuel Forbes. I think he's going to be a better corner this year. So you add somebody else to go on opposite side of him.
And the Commanders are back on the clock again at 40 overall. The pick they got from the Bears in the Montez Sweat trade. And Johnny Newton is still available. And keep in mind, Jonathan Allen may be getting a little long in the tooth.
That's true.
So Johnny Newton, I think the value could be too much for Adam Peters to pass up here.
Gotcha. Let's see who's below Peyton Wilson.
Tyler Newbin.
It would be a nice thing. Edge. You got another corner there, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. We just took quarterbacks. I don't have to go there. I think it's a little rich for Isaac. Sanders at tight end is not a bad pick, but Braden Fisk, you're talking about more D-tackle help. So right now I'm seeing a rich group of D-tackles. I'm not seeing, a lot of things that I need at this position that are really wowing me. So best player available is going to be Newton. So I'm going to add to my D-line with Newton.
Johnny Newton is the pick at 40, and that would be an absolute steal for the Commanders. And now we're back on the clock at 67 overall, the first of three third-round picks. Blake Corum, the running back out of Michigan, is the best player available, but I think this may be a little too early for him. Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. Keep in mind, Jamin Davis, their first-round pick in 2021, has been a disappointment, and he could be the off-ball stack back of the Dan Quinn Craves.
Absolutely, but he also needs edge rusher, and Jonah Ellis is right there. He likes to play fast, likes to play quarterback, run to the quarterback. Jonah Ellis gives him that, so I'll take Jonah Ellis off the board right there.
Jonah Ellis, the Commanders pick at 67 overall, and we're back on the clock at 78. Junior Colson out of Michigan, the linebacker, is the best player on the board. Let's see who else we have. We already gave them secondary help. Jalen McMillan, if you want to add another vertical threat to your offense. Jalix Hunt, if you want to double down at edge because the Commanders are lacking there right now. Jalix Hunt out of Houston Christian, he's been
We also have Austin Booker. But yep. Go back up again, and right there, Junior Colson.
Yeah, Junior Colson. Why do you think he would be an ideal off-ball backer for Dan Quinn?
Talking about Jamin Davis, but you also want to get somebody next to him. You've had a bunch of veterans. You want to add youth. You're coming in with a new regime. You want to have guys that are going to grow with you, growing your system. You have some veterans, but you get the young linebacker there that's going to be able to come in for Dan Quinn, learn, and be there during his whole tenure.
And last but not least, we are back on the clock at 100 overall, and it's time to get Jaden Daniels some offensive line help. Cedric Van Pran, the center out of Georgia, is the best offensive lineman available, but Christian Mahogany, a guard from Boston College, is also still here. If you want to give him a tight end, Jared Wiley out of TCU, Ben Sinan out of Kansas State, Cade Stover out of Ohio State, take your pick. Do you go with the protection or do you go with another weapon?
I'm going to go interior line. I got the center. Van Pran's a guy that can play both guard and center. So I'm going to take Van Pran.
Cedric Van Pran, the guard and center out of Georgia, concludes the Commanders' three-round mock. And now we're on to the Giants, who are on the clock at six. And look who is still available, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the pick here.
Absolutely. He's a no-brainer. He gives you the size and speed that you need on the outside. You don't really have. So there's your X factor on the outside.
Yeah, why is he your favorite receiver in this draft?
Not because you talk about the pedigree, the size, the speed, yeah, the ability. While he doesn't have the ball skill after the catch that Malik Nabers has, he's a guy that's going to give you the best route running ability. He transitions right away into a pro system and can be productive right away. He has... You know, we talk about the ability to go out there and just do it off of pure talent. He can do just that.
Yeah, plus his father, Marvin Harrison Sr., who was the best wide receiver who ever played with Peyton Manning, a Hall of Famer. He has the bloodlines of bloodlines, and he may end up even more talented of a player than his father was. And that is saying a lot. And the Giants are back on the clock at 47 overall. And look who's sitting there waiting for them to pick him up. Michael Penix Jr. I think if he's available here, I think they run the card in, don't you?
What? And he's number three on my board, but plain and simple, we talked about it. Take the best receiver available at six. And turn around and take your potential future quarterback in round two.
And last but not least, we're back on the clock at 70 overall in round three. The two best players on the board are Christian Haynes, the guard out of Connecticut, and Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky. I'm not sure they need guard help or corner help right now. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. If you want another weapon to that offense to replace Saquon Barkley, yeah, they did sign Devin Singletary, but Devin Singletary isn't the scariest receiver out of the backfield. Jalen Wright would scare defenses catching the ball out of the backfield. And that's an element of Saquon Barkley's game they're going to miss immediately. So why not replace it with Jalen Wright?
And it makes sense because you need a home run hitter. You don't have that right now. Jalen Wright gives you that. So take the home run hitter in Jalen Wright. I mean, Haynes is not a bad pick. They can't upgrade the interior line as well. They did struggle all over the line of scrimmage on the offensive line last year. But I do think they're going to be fine at left tackle. I think eventually they'll be fine at right tackle. But if you want to upgrade the interior, Haynes is not a bad pick, but you definitely need a breakaway back. So that's why we're going with the back for Tennessee.
Yeah, Giants fans would absolutely be ecstatic with a draft haul of Marvin Harrison Jr., Michael Penix, and Jalen Wright. And now on to the Eagles, who are on the clock at 22 overall. And we talked about them looking to the future at tackle, but they need corner help as well. And keep in mind, Darius Slay is 33, and James Bradbury is 30. And Cooper DeJean is the best player on the board. And Nate Wiggins is also on the board. And let's see the tackles. We can't give them Kool-Aid McKinstry because we gave him to the Commanders. Jackson Powers Johnson, if you want to keep Cam Jurgens at one of the guard positions and play him at center, he's an option here. Zach Frazier could be an option to upgrade that center position potentially. But you also got Jordan Morgan and Tyler Guyton if you want to look to the future at that right tackle position. Take your pick.
I mean, how could you go wrong with some of the guys on the board? I think DeJean is a nice corner that fits kind of what they want to do. But I think Nate Wiggins would be better for their scheme. Nate Wiggins is a guy that plays outside. He could play inside, has a length, has a speed and ball skills. I like him a little more than DeJean. In my opinion, he was one of my top three corners. But by all means, if I'm going to take a DB, it's going to be Cooper. It's going to be Nate Wiggins there.
Yeah, so Nate Wiggins is the corner if you decide to go in that direction. But would you prefer taking a Jordan Morgan or a Tyler Guyton over Nate Wiggins?
Yeah, no, I would go more interior, and I'm not really in love with the guards right now. So from what I'm seeing, I would rather go more. If I have the corners higher on my board, I'd rather take the cornerback. He's going to play. They needed help in the secondary last year, as we saw, especially at the nickel. So moving guys around in that secondary helps. Nate Wiggins helps with that. He's a definite upgrade in the nickel. The corner from Georgia just hasn't been as good as a lot of people thought he was going to be. So that's been one of the things there. Yep. If I'm not niggling Nate Wiggins or Cooper DeJean or McKinstry, it'll be the wide receiver. And I think they're good at wide receiver right now. We just saw them re-up
Devontae Smith.
So, yeah, I think right now it's got to be cornerback in this situation.
So Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson, is the pick for the Eagles at 22. And should the Eagles take a corner in the first round, it will be the first time since 2002 that they've invested in that position in the first round as they picked Lito Shepard that year. Then back on the clock, we are at 50 overall. Tyler Newbin is the best player on the board. If you want to upgrade that secondary even more, he could be a good pick here. But Jordan Morgan is also still here. If Jordan Morgan falls here, there's no way Howie Roseman lets him last past 50.
Jordan Morgan is one thing that we talked about. I remember how last year we were burned at safety. I had to go back and get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back because we were so bad at safety last year. I have a young safety who's not going to be healthy enough by the time we get to the end of training camp. So Tyler Newbin is the biggest upgrade I can make to my defense right now. While Jordan Morgan is a great depth addition, I got a guy that's going to come in and help my defense be better than it was last year. So give me the best safety on the board in Tyler Newbin.
So Howie Roseman has made Vic Fangio happy in this mock by taking Nate Wiggins in the first round and Tyler Newbin at 50 overall in the second round. And now the Eagles are back on the clock at 53 overall. And Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, not a fan. His athleticism is very underwhelming. A braided fist, defensive tackle, Florida State. They don't need the receiver. We just gave him a safety. Jonathan Brooks, a running back out of Texas. I'm not sure how he likes to go running back this early, but he would be great value here, especially after they lost DeAndre Swift at free agency. That would make a lot of sense. Jonah Ellis, we can't do that because we gave him to the Commanders. Kieran Amagadaje. Now, if you want another tackle to mold for a year or two behind Lane Johnson and then have him slide into that starting spot, just like you did with Jordan Mailata, this guy makes sense.
He does. But if you look two names down, they signed a linebacker, a former All-Pro, to a one-year deal, and that's Devin White.
Yep.
But if you don't want to re-sign Devin White, there's your replacement right there, at Edgerrin Cooper. So I'm going to take Edgerrin Cooper because I'm going to get the guy that gives me everything that Devin White gives me, a strong downhill player, a great runner to the football, a great chase player. A guy that's very physical at the point of attack. He can blitz. He can fill gaps in a running game. He can drop into coverage. I'm going to take one of the better linebackers in this class. While he's not a huge linebacker. He's going to give me the same kind of athleticism and grit that a Devin White gives me, and he's going to be cheap.
So Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, is the Eagles' pick at 53 to conclude their three-round mock, which was a dedication to Vic Fangio. And if Vic Fangio gets anything close to the haul we just gave the Eagles, he's going to be the happiest guy in America on April 25th and 26th. And now on to your Cowboys, who are on the clock at 24 overall. They don't need a corner, but Laiatu Latu is still on the board. It would be perfect to get a cost-controlled edge opposite Micah Parsons. Jaxon Powers-Johnson is on the board, as are Jordan Morgan. Beg your pardon, Tyler Guyton's not on the board, but Jordan Morgan, Jaxon Powers-Johnson are your two offensive line options, but you could also go with Laiatu Latu for amazing value here.
Absolutely. I don't think he's the great value, but we said they forced themselves almost into a need situation. Jaxon Powers-Johnson is their need. They need to upgrade that interior while they have undrafted free agents playing in the depth that are probably going to be counted on as starters this year. Here's a guy that comes in that's an upgrade over anybody they have on their roster other than Zach Barton.
So Jaxon Powers-Johnson, the pick for the Cowboys at 24, and we're back on the clock at 56 overall, and they got a choice between two very good receivers here. Keon Coleman out of Florida State, Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Brandon Cooks is getting a little long in the tooth, so you need a young receiver to line up opposite of CeeDee Lamb. And you also got Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Texas here. You lost Tony Pollard in free agency, and Rico Dowdle is the best running back on your roster right now. And Jerry Jones loves drafting his running backs early, so this is an intriguing decision here.
Yeah, so we're going Jonathan Brooks, the best running back in the draft. He's going to be healthy enough by the time you get to the regular season. You're talking about a team in desperate need of talent in the backfield. They are all over the Texas players. So by all means, if he's hanging around when Dallas picks in round two, that's your pick.
Yeah, that is a very popular prospect team destination in mock drafts, and that could very well come to fruition on day two of the draft. And last but not least, we are on the clock at 87 overall. With this potentially being Dak Prescott's final season in Dallas, how much would you consider Spencer Rattler here?
I wouldn't, and it's just me. I like the arm strength. I know I've seen the growth in Spencer Rattler. However, they made a trade for Trey Lance last year. I believe they traded for a reason for Trey Lance. Well, if they've seen enough out of him, I think they're fine there. But you still got to upgrade what you have. Now, Cooper Beebe also fits. You still need more interior help on the offensive line. Also, go back up. There was another name I saw that can definitely help him. Kalen Bullock is a guy they can use, especially with safeties. Edge, Xavier Thomas is another person that you could throw into the mix. Looking at this group, I would definitely lean towards Javon Solomon is a guy that they'd like, but he's going to be a little small for them. So I'm probably going to go Bullock. He's a guy that can play corner or safety. They love their long corner down in Dallas. So by all means, I think he's a guy that comes in. They can play him at either corner, safety, or even in a nickel. They resigned Jordan Lewis. Right now, there is no Stephon Gilmore. He's still a free agent. So you're relying on the two corners you had last year with Diggs coming back with the young corner from Fresno State. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Young
Bland, Deron Bland.
Deron Bland, yes, thank you. Deron Bland there. So you still need more depth. A lot of the guys behind those guys are unproven. Here's a guy that comes in. He can play your safety. He can play your corner. They like to do different things with their safeties. I think Mike Zimmer is going to be able to use him in a lot of different ways. So I think he gives them the tool they need in the secondary that allows that pass rush to get there so he doesn't have to over blitz.
So Kalen Bullock, the versatile defensive back out of USC, is the pick at 87 to conclude this three-round mock draft for the Cowboys. And he is Jeff Barnes, ladies and gentlemen, senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on X at JeffBarnes29. Jeff, thank you so much once again. And that concludes our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour. But we'll be back next week with nonstop 2024 NFL draft coverage. On Monday, our friend Devin Jackson of the Philadelphia Inquirer will join us to share his scouting reports on the quarterbacks in this year's draft. Then on Wednesday, my right-hand man Hal Bent will join us to dissect all the last-minute buzz and conduct our final mock draft of the cycle. And on Thursday night, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Hal and I will be doing our annual Round 1 live stream, analyzing each pick as it is made in real time. Please bookmark the link in my X and Instagram bios and join us for a fun-filled evening. Speaking of which, be sure to follow me on X at dcrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrutch with dcrom. And remember, that's crutch with AK. For Jeff Barnes, this is David Cromelo saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.